chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. We'll read just a couple of verses and I'll let you sit down. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. It's good to hear the rustling of the papers. The Word of God. People still carrying their Bibles to church. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 8, Paul the Apostle writes, and he says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd help us. I pray, God, that you'd fill me. And I pray, God, that you would use us for your glory. And I pray, God, that, Lord, you would give the church ears to hear what the Spirit has to say this morning. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. We'll thank you. We'll praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. Opportunities and obstacles. Opportunities and obstacles. This new year is going to be one like many of the others that we have faced in the past, in that this new year, as well as each day, will offer you and I great opportunities, but along with those great opportunities, we will face many obstacles. Each of us are daily faced with opportunities, and we're faced with obstacles. Every one of us. Paul himself, no exception. He writes here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, he was in Ephesus as he wrote this letter to the church of Corinth, and he had a desire to go to Corinth. Many times he desired in his writings to go to Corinth, but he was not allowed. He was not led hitherto. But when he wrote this letter, he had a desire to go to Ephesus. But he said here that he said, "I'm going to stay at Ephesus until Pentecost," to the church of Corinth. He said, "I want to come see you in Corinth, but I'm going to stay at Ephesus until Pentecost." Now, he had troubles even at Ephesus, but he said, for some reason or another, he said, "I'm going to stay here at Pentecost, at Ephesus until Pentecost." And he said, the reason why in verse number 9, he said, because there was a great door and an effectual door that was opened unto him. But he added, along with that great and effectual door, he said, there are many adversaries. And I say that just like in his life, in your life as well, as we face opportunities, we're going to face obstacles. As we face doors that are open, we're going to face hindrances to you and I walking through those doors. In the Apostle Paul's life, I went through and I just wrote down some things in his ministry as I saw doors of opportunity that were open to him. In Acts 14:27, he talked about the door of faith, which is the door of salvation that was open to the Gentiles. That was you and I. In other words, it wasn't just the Jew thing. It was now a Gentile thing. In 2 Corinthians 12, he talked about an open door while he was at Troas. And if we was to study in Acts 16:8, we find out that it was a door in Acts 16:8 that he was going to be sent to Philippi. He got the Macedonian call. And then in Acts 20, he was in Troas, and he had an opportunity to serve. There was a door to serve that was opened. And then we hear the Apostle Paul write in Colossians 4 in verse number 3 about, he said, "Would you pray for me?" In other words, paraphrasing, he said, "Pray for me that a door of utterance would be given to me, that I may speak the mysteries of Christ." So he spoke of a door to speak the mystery, to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in Revelation 3:8, Jesus talked about that he was one that would open, that he could open the door and no man could shut it. He could shut the door and no man could open it. But in chapter 3, verse 8 in Revelation, he said he opened a door that no man can shut. He's referring to the Philadelphian church. And that's the church that continued to be the church of missionaries and propagating and promoting the gospel throughout the ages. And so we see there are great opportunities in ministry. And then Paul said, along with the opportunities that came and abounded, that he said those obstacles also abounded. You see, you and I, we're not the only ones in this race.
Right.
And Paul the Apostle, the great man of God that he was, he said, while opportunities abounded, obstacles abounded. In chapter 14 and 15, when the door of salvation was opened to the Gentiles, There were religious Pharisees that stood in the way. And they said, oh, this is a Jew thing. This is not a Gentile thing. And there was the adversaries or the obstacles of the religious crowd. In chapter 16, when he went to Macedonia, there was demonic adversaries and demonic opposition and obstacles. It was a spirit of divination. And also in chapter 16, there was obstacles that were in the government. Didn't want the gospel preached. Messed up what their agenda was. Obstacles to the gospel being preached. In chapter 17, verse number 5, he talked about some unbelieving Jews that were hindrances. And they were obstacles as he tried to preach. In chapter 19, while he's at Ephesus, Paul, right here, as he wrote in chapter 16 about this great door and effectual opened to him, and he said, there are many adversaries. Chapter 19:9, we read about the time when he was in Ephesus, and Paul said that there were those who had hardened their hearts, they believed not, and they spake evil of him. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, chapter 8, chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, and he said, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Right. Enemies of the cross of Christ. Mind you, he's talking about religious folk. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. Who mind earthly things. Opportunities and obstacles. They have both abound. Opportunities and obstacles abound today for you and I that are sitting here. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, Paul here, he told us that there was a great door and effectual open. He said, but there are many adversaries. Now, let me say, just by way of introduction this morning, you and I, in this new year, in this new day, in the days that lie ahead, we're going to have opportunities to walk with God. Amen. But there's going to be obstacles to your walk with God. Yes, you're going to have opportunities. You have one right now to worship God. That reminds you, you don't have to be in church to worship God. You can worship God and you shout. But there's also going to be obstacles to worshiping God. You're going to have opportunities to work for God. There's plenty of things that you can do for God. But there's also going to be obstacles to you working for God. You'll have an opportunity even today to be a witness for God. Or you're going to face, I guarantee you, obstacles to being a witness for God. You see, Paul said there was a great door. That word great, it's the word megas. We get the word mega. It's great. It's a huge door. It's big. It's not only that, but he said it was effectual. That is, it's active and operative. This is not some passive thing. He said, there's a great open opportunity there for me, but there are many adversaries. What is an adversary? An adversary is something or someone that is contrary to you and your purpose. It is something that is set against you. It is to be opposite to or to oppose, to be adverse or to withstand. Paul said, while God has a great open door for me, he said, as I try to go through that open door, he said, there are many adversaries. While God's given me a great opportunity, he said, there are great obstacles. There are many obstacles to me taking full advantage of and achieving the opportunities that God has given me. And you and I today, you need to understand this as we embark upon a new year, as you face a new day in the morning, as you live out the rest of your life, you are going to have great opportunities. There's going to be many opportunities that God affords you.
Yeah.
Along with those opportunities, you're going to face obstacles.
Right.
Now, here's the question. How can you and I stand against and how can we avoid the obstacles that are in our way in order that we can take full advantage of the opportunities that God gives us? I'll give you three things right quick and we'll go to the house. Number one, I want you to learn some things. Number one, if I'm going to make the best of the opportunities and not be stopped by the obstacles, number one, I'm going to have to learn to consider the potential. Amen. Consider the potential. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, you and I, we sit here, every one of us had potential. As I look out across this auditorium and across this congregation this morning, I see great potential of what God could do. I see great potential of what God could use you to do.
Amen.
But listen, along with that opportunity, there are obstacles. Let me say this, there's the potential for you to go.
Amen.
to go to church, to be here, to be found faithful, to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Right. Hebrews 10:25 is still in the Bible.
Amen.
I know the modern days, people just want to down it and play it off, but hey, listen to me. Hey, the Bible still says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more.
Right.
Not so much the less.
Right, amen.
And so much the more as you see the day approach. You're going to have the opportunity this new year to be in church. You're going to have the opportunity to be in Sunday school. There's an opportunity, but there will be obstacles.
Everybody.
Are you listening? Everybody ought to go to Sunday school. Right. If you're a church member, you ought to go to Sunday school. There's an opportunity, but there are obstacles. You ought to be in church on Sunday morning. If you ain't working or sick, probably needs to hinder. You ought to be in church on Sunday morning. There's an opportunity. The doors will be open. There will be obstacles. There's an opportunity to be here on Sunday night at 6 o'clock.
Amen.
But there will be obstacles. There's an opportunity on Wednesday night at 7:30 to sit and listen and learn and hear the Word of God.
Amen.
But there will be obstacles.
Amen.
There's an opportunity for revivals and jubilees and special meetings coming on for you to be in the house of God. There'll be great opportunities this year for you to go to church and to be there, to be found in your place. But there will be obstacles. I promise you, there's a lot of people that don't come to church and they're not providentially here. There's a lot of people that could be here, but they just choose not to be here.
Right.
Yeah. Let other things take priority in their life.
Right.
Whether it's a ball field, a lake, a race car, or whatever it may be. Or listen, maybe it's just that they're just pure and flat out lazy.
Right.
And don't want to get up.
Amen.
Are you listening? The opportunities will be there. Maybe friends could be the obstacle. Maybe a family. I like that story I read about George Washington. And George Washington's pastor talked about on the Lord's Day. Hey, it didn't matter who was at his house. Didn't matter what his family, friends, visitors. No matter where they was, they knew. The testimony of George Washington was that you could either go to church with him or you could visit with him when he got home because he was gone.
That's right. Good.
And if the president wasn't too busy to go to church, you ain't too busy.
Right.
Yep. There's going to be opportunity to go. There's going to be opportunity to grow. You're going to have an opportunity this year to grow. And I'm not necessarily talking about sitting at Cracker Barrel. As newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You've got an opportunity to pick up this precious word of God right here. You're going to have an opportunity to pick up this word daily and pick it up and read. Are you going to take advantage of that? God has given you a precious book. Are you going to take advantage of this book? You say, preacher, I come to church and I don't get nothing out of it. Maybe if you spend some time reading it throughout the week, you might get more out of it when the preacher or the Sunday school teacher stands up preaching to teach. You say, preacher, I read. Well, listen, maybe if you come to church more often and hear your Sunday school teacher, the preaching might make more sense. Oh yeah, a lot of people can't take preaching because they've never heard teaching. I know that's foreign to some of y'all's concept.
Right.
You don't understand the Bible, it's hard to apply the Bible.
Yeah. Right.
Are you going to take advantage to grow? How are you going to grow as a Christian? You cannot grow without intaking and digesting the Word of God. This is our nutrient. This is our vitamins.
Amen.
Hey, this is our spiritual steroids, if you will. It's the Word of God. There is no other way. It's not the Reader's Digest. It's not the comic books. It's not ESPN.
Right.
It's not some romance affairs.
Preach.
It's right here.
Amen.
This book. It's not purpose-driven life out of hell. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
It's the King James Bible.
Amen.
And he said desire as newborn babes desire. Hey, I was listening to Cody who was down at the hospital talking. He said, preacher, this was yesterday. She still had the feeding tube. He said, I don't know why they won't take that feeding tube out. He said, every time she gets that bottle, he said, she sucks the fire out of it and she wants more when they take it away. You know what? Nobody had to teach her that.
Right.
When the baby's born, the baby's hungry.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Preach.
Nobody has to teach a baby that they need to eat.
Right. Preach. Right.
Listen, when you're born again, I'll not have to for it. You better read your Bible. You better come here and preach. No, when you get saved, you want to read your Bible. When you get saved, you want to hear it preached. You want to hear a Sunday school teaching. You want to hear the Word of God.
Amen. Preach.
You're going to have an opportunity this year to hear the Word of God. You're going to have an opportunity to read the Word of God. You're going to have an opportunity to study the Word of God. You're going to have the opportunity to have it taught to you. Hey, but there's going to be great obstacles.
Right.
Come on. I just confess to you many times in my devotional life, many times in my study life, as I pick up my Bible and I try to spend time with, many times the phone starts buzzing. Many times, 15 million other things that needs to be done throughout the day. But you're going to have a disciplined life to say, listen, I'm not going to grow without this word. So I'm going to set aside 15, 20, 30 minutes a day, whatever it is, and I'm going to chalk it off on my calendar. That's my time with God. Nobody's going to intervene. Are you going to take advantage of your opportunity to grow? Or are you going to let the obstacles get in the way? Then there's going to be opportunities for you. Potential for you to give. Now, I know you don't want to hear this, but God blesses giving. Right here in this chapter, he said, now in the first verse, he said, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul wrote, he said, listen, hey, as God's prospered you, you give. There's an opportunity to give. He wrote about it in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. He talked about the churches of Macedonia, how they give themselves, and then they gave. He said in verse number 5, chapter 8, this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. To be able to give is a gift God has given you, you can give back.
Amen.
In chapter 9 and verse number 7, he said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Right.
So I don't know about that. Well, how about this? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. God knows how to take your giving and to multiply it.
Right.
He said in Luke 6, he said, give and it should be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over.
Right.
God can, listen, are you listening to me? God can do more with your 90% than you can do with the 100%.
Right.
There's going to be opportunities to give, but there's also going to be obstacles. And listen, it's not always in the plate. Yeah, there's opportunities to put into play, but there's also opportunities to meet the needs of others. Take care of other people that are in need. But there's also going to be obstacles. Because every one of us got bills. Every time I see a special offering coming around, I think, man, I gotta pay my cable bill. Hold on real tight. If cable and internet keeps you from giving to missions, you might want to check your priorities. Somebody said amen. There's going to be obstacles. Some things I have to have. Some things I want to have. So I'm wondering this year, am I going to take full advantage of my opportunities? My opportunities to give. There's always going to be vacations I want to go on. Nothing wrong with vacations, I hope.
Right.
There's always going to be new materials. There's going to be new clothes. There's going to be that shiny new car. But if I can do without it, I might not need it. And if I have to put myself in such financial debt that I'm in a bind that I can't give back to God what God has already required of me, then I don't need it. There's going to be opportunities to get involved. The potential this year you need to consider, you could get involved. You could get involved in the choir. You can get involved in a Sunday school class. You can get involved in visitation. You can get involved in nursery work. You can get involved in some type of outreach. Or you could do like everybody and say, well, I'm busy. Everybody's busy. Are you listening to me? Everybody's busy. There's 18 things around my house that ain't got done this year. That's lots of things you got that's going on. Everybody's got a lot of things going on. How many's got a lot going on in their life?
Amen.
Listen, if you want an excuse, you can find it. Or, listen, you can take the opportunities that God's given you to get involved. Or you can find an obstacle that'll keep you from getting involved. Let me say this. There may be somebody here this morning, and you're not saved. And can I say this year, you have an opportunity to be saved. Right here this morning, you have an opportunity to yield your life to Christ and to trust and to receive Jesus Christ and what He's done for you at Calvary. There's a great opportunity, but there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be obstacles of people. Somebody's not saved, they're sitting here thinking about, well, me and my buddies, or me and my friends, or me and my, what are we going to do? You're letting your friends get in your way. Let me say something to you this morning. Can I say something real frank, real honest with you? If you go to hell, you'll have no friends. Are you listening to me?
Right.
If you let your friends keep you, if somebody said, well, me and my friends, we're going to go to hell and have a party, you'll do no such thing.
Amen.
When you get to hell, they'll be weeping, they'll be wailing, they'll be gnashing of teeth. It's a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. It's a place of eternal damnation. But right now, God has given you the door. It's the door of salvation's open. You have an opportunity for you to be saved, but there's many obstacles. Maybe friends, maybe your people around you. Maybe, oh, this will get a lot of people, maybe pride.
Oh my.
Well, I'd get saved, but I tell you one thing. I know I need to get saved, but I ain't going to let nobody know I'm a sinner.
Hmm.
Just swallow your pride, because everybody knows it already.
Yep.
We're all in the same boat.
Right.
All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Pride. Pride's going to send probably more people to hell than liquor. Or listen to me. There's a lot of people sitting on church pews, and they've been there for years, and they look distinguished, they look dignified, but they've never been justified because they won't let go of their pride.
Right. Right. Amen.
They come up in church, they got the suit, they got the nice haircut, they got it all going on, and everybody knows that I'm an outstanding citizen. But the question is, are you washed in the blood?
Amen.
And pride, pride, pride. Keep them from being saved. That's an obstacle. And listen, it may be, listen to this. Here's one to get a lot of people too. Procrastination. See, the devil, listen, the devil will allow you to sit in the church and hear that you need to be saved.
Right.
He don't mind you hearing that. He don't mind you hearing it. Listen, you need to get saved, you're going to go to hell. And what he does mind is he minds you getting saved today.
Yeah.
See, he'll tell you things like this. You can get saved tomorrow. You can do it next Sunday. You can wait till you get older. You can wait till tonight. You can wait till after whatever. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What is your life? It's even a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. You can't promise yourself you'll be out of this church today, much less that you'll come back tonight.
Right. Amen, brother. You're right.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Procrastination is a great obstacle to people being saved. There will be opportunities that abound. The potential will lie for you to take advantage of those opportunities, but this year there will also come obstacles.
Yes, sir.
Heard that old song, it says, excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away.
Right.
When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. There's always going to be excuses. You can find an excuse to stay out of whatever you want to stay out of. Or you can find a way to do it.
Amen.
Number two, not only do we need to consider our potential, but we need to control our perspective. And this will get a lot of people. We got to learn to control our perspective. We talk about prayer. I'm talking about our focus. Where is our focus at this year? As we enter a new year, as we embark upon new days that lie ahead of us, where is my focus? Am I looking at everything that's wrong, or am I looking for what's right? Am I looking at everybody else? Am I looking at all the people around me that's going to let me down, or am I looking unto Jesus? Where's my perspective? Let me say this. If you look for an entrance, that is the way, that is the opportunity, the doorway. If you look for the opportunity, it's there. But if you look for an excuse or a way out, you look for a detour instead of a door, you're going to find one.
Right.
Let's go back. You want to grow? You can go. I tell you, if you want to grow, there'll be people that are trying to help you with the Word of God. There is the Word of God. There's preachers. There's teachers. But there's also ways to detour. You don't have to pick up the Bible. You don't have to go to church. Are you listening? You'll find what you're looking for. One old timer said this, people going to do what people want to do. Don't sit here and tell me, preacher, I can't, because 99.999% of the time, it's not an I can't problem, it's an I won't problem.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
If you're looking for a way, you'll find it. If you're looking for a way out, you'll find it. Where there are opportunities, there will always be obstacles. Somebody said this years ago. I picked up on this little phrase. I don't know where it originated. I don't know who first said it, but I liked it. It can apply to life in general. It can apply to the Christian life. But here's this. Obstacles are just things to take your eyes or your mind off the goal. Obstacles are things to take your mind off the goal. As I live the Christian life, what is my goal? What is my goal as a Christian? I'm to be looking unto Jesus. I'm to be pressing on. I'm to be, listen, looking for that upward calling, that higher call. I'm to be looking and pressing on the upward way. I'm to have my focus forward and upward toward Jesus Christ. See, the deacons at the church, they're not to be my focus. I love them, but they're not my focus. And if they let me down, I'm supposed to keep my eyes on Jesus. The preacher is not my focus. The preacher ought to be an outstanding man. He ought to be somebody that's full of faith and wisdom and the power of God. Hey, but if the preacher slips up, messes up, hey, there's one in front of him that's never going to let you down. There's Jesus Christ. And if you keep your eyes on him this year, everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
We got to learn to control our perspective. What are you going to be looking for? I say if you're looking for a way, you'll find it. If you're looking for a way out, you'll find it. Oh, Proverbs chapter number 26:13, Solomon said, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. What's he saying? He's saying a lazy man will look for an excuse. A lazy man's going to say, oh, I can't go out there. He'll find the reason. There's a lion in the street. Is there really a lion in the street implied there? No, there wasn't a lion in the street. You'll find a reason. If you don't want to go do something, if you don't want to go to church, you'll find an excuse. If you don't want to go on visitation, you'll find an excuse. If you don't want to sing in the choir, you'll find an excuse. If you don't want to go to Sunday school, you'll find an excuse. Are you listening to me? If you don't want to be a witness, you don't want to worship, you'll find an excuse. But I'm not wired that way or whatever it may be. You'll find an excuse. But if you're willing, you say, God, I want to take advantage of the opportunities you give me this year. There's a door of entrance that's open. There's a great door. It's effectual. There's a way. There's an opportunity that lies in front of you. What's your perspective? Many times in life, we mess up. Many times in life, we don't take advantage of what God has given us the opportunity to do because we get our eyes in the wrong spot. And while we're over here watching somebody else, what they're doing wrong, we're missing out on what we could be doing right. And God, listen, God has given you, personally, you. He's given you opportunities. If I'm worried about what he's doing with his opportunity, I'm not taking advantage of my opportunity. God gives me an opportunity. God gives me an opportunity to serve him, to worship him. And listen, when I stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ one day, I'm not going to be able to say, well, I didn't serve you because Robbie didn't or Rodney didn't. That's not gonna count. That's not gonna hold water. I gotta keep my eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the one who endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Are you listening? Control our perspective. Many times, I'm telling you, many times the church gets messed up and families get broken apart because they get out of church and get away from the things of God. And it all started when they started watching one other person. Somebody let me down. Whip-de-doo. There's going to be another one somewhere along the line that's going to let you down.
Right.
A preacher let me down. Put him on the list. I'll probably let you down sooner or later. I love you to death, but I'm not going to do everything to please you. I'm not even going to try, just be honest with you. I got one I got to please, and he's the same one you need to be pleasing. His name's Jesus. If I can please him, I got my hands full. That's all I got to do, please him. And I mean that in love. I hope you don't mistake. But I'm trying to tell you, we got to get our eyes on Jesus. We got to keep our perspective right. And listen, if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, when he gives us opportunities, we'll step through the door and we'll say, thank you, God. And we'll be like, Paul, that's a great opportunity. Many of us, if we was wrote it, we'd have said, there's a great adversary in front of me, but there's a few opportunities. We'd have wrote it back. See, we like to make mountains out of molehills. Paul said, there's a great door in affection. There's many adversaries. How are you looking at it? How are you looking at it? What's your perspective? And number four, or three, whatever it is, number next.
Amen.
Y'all like this, it's number last.
Amen.
Not only do I need to consider the potential this year, not only do I need to control my perspective, y'all gonna like this one. I might have to learn to cut off some peers this year. Cut off some peers this year. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, here's what I'm talking about, Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 15:33, where Paul wrote and he said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Listen. Everybody listening? Listen, it may happen tomorrow. It may be next week or next month. But somewhere in your life, there may come a time where you have to tell a good friend goodbye. You say, preacher, that's mean. No, that's helpful. Open rebuke is better than secret love.
Right.
You listen, there may come a time where you have to tell somebody that maybe you've been around all your life, maybe you think a lot of, hey, but listen, they may be holding you back, they may be a hindrance, they may be an obstacle from keeping you achieving the opportunity that God has given you.
Right.
So what kind of peers would I have to cut off? Number one, there may be some reverting peers. What's a reverter? A reverter is one who turns back. That's a backslider. That's one that goes back into the world. What did Paul do with Demas? Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. Did Paul go down in the world and hang out with Demas? Oh, no, friend. Paul said Demas had forsaken me. Hey, when they run to the bars, you don't have to go to the bars to be their friend. You say, well, we're supposed to love them. Well, love them and show them a consistent Christian life, and maybe they'll come back.
Right.
Well, it's my children, and my children want to go do this and want to do that, and they don't want to go to church, so we're going to take them elsewhere. Hey, show your children that it pays to serve God. Hey, mom and daddy, be faithful to the things of God. Show them some consistency in the things of God.
Amen. Right.
You'll never reach anybody with compromise.
Right.
Well, they're a backsliding preacher, and the only way I'm going to be able to be their friend is for me to go down there with them. If they're backsliding, you don't need to go with them. You need to say, bye-bye. I'll be at church waiting for you when you come back.
Right.
There's some reverting peers you're going to have to cut off. There's some rebellious peers you may have to cut off. I don't have time to read all the verses, but in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 through 33, he talks about those who would not heed the warnings and the counsel of God. And if they will not heed the instructions and the counsel of God, God talking about how he's going to turn them over and there's going to be some destruction in their life. There's some rebellious spirit. There's some people that, listen, they may hear the word of God. They may hear somebody give them a godly counsel. And they say, I don't want to hear that. They may laugh at a preacher. They may laugh at somebody that goes to them and admonishes them. I don't need to hear that. No smirk. Hey, I'm going to tell you one thing. You better watch who you run with. If you run with rebels, you'll reap with rebels. There may be some rebellious people you run with. And listen, you're going to have to learn to identify them. And like the old timers say, you're going to have to call them out.
Right.
Some of you old farmers know what I'm talking about. We'll have to call them out. Don't mean you don't love them. Don't mean you don't pray for them. But evil communications corrupt good manners. You hang out with a rebel, with somebody with a rebellious heart, sooner or later, you're going to be one.
Right.
You may have to cut out some righteous peers. What's a righteous person? A righteous person is a troublemaker. That's one who is a disturbance of the peace. Somebody's always causing trouble. Somebody's always bringing up something. I always got something stirred up. You see, as Christians, you and I, according to Ephesians 4:3, we're supposed to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, I can find something wrong, preacher. Somebody's over. Everybody in church got something wrong with them somewhere. If you look hard enough, you'll find it. That goes back to that perspective. There's troublemakers in the church, whether you believe it or not. I hate to tell you, but they come to church. Brother Benny, they still come. Troublemakers. They fault finders. They always nitpick. Well, somebody didn't. They didn't compliment my new dress. They might not see you in 3 months and they didn't know it was new. I don't know. I mean, come on, cut somebody some slack. Well, they didn't ask me to take up the offer. Maybe they're just looking for somebody that's willing to do it.
Right.
Hey, listen, you may have to cut off some peers, some righteous people. Always going to, listen, you ever notice sometimes these people go around and everywhere they go, they got a problem with something? And sooner or later, I want to say, hey, would you look in the mirror and see the common denominator? Everywhere you go, there's trouble. Where you're not, there's not trouble.
Good.
Duh.
Right.
He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Watch. There may be some resentful peers in your life that you need to cut out. Resentful peers? What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about people that are bitter. Hebrews chapter number 12. Listen to what Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 15. Listen to what the Word of God says. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Watch this. And thereby many be defiled. You know, if somebody gets bitter, they just can't keep it to themselves. When somebody gets bitter and they're eat up with bitterness and misery inside, it just has a way naturally of coming out and spreading to everybody around them.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you one thing. If you hang around with bitter people, you're going to become a bitter person.
Right.
Evil communications screw up good manners. You're going to have to learn to say goodbye. Listen to this. There may be some religious peers you need to say bye-bye to. Mm-hmm. Oh, what are you talking about, preacher? Religious. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter number 3, he talked about it, and he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? He said it again in Galatians 5, verse number 7. He said, you did run well. Who hath hindered you that you should not obey the truth?
Right.
Now, both cases, chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 5, verse 7, Galatians, Paul didn't say what did hinder you. Brother Eric, he said, who hath hindered you? There was a who. And I remind you, these who's, they were religious folk.
Right.
They were Pharisees. These who's, they weren't even liberals. They were the ones that wanted you to put down to the letter of the law. They were the ones that was enforcing the rites of the Jewish customs and trying to force them on believers. And there may be some people in your life that you're never going to progress spiritually, and you're not going to be able to grow. You're not going to know the joy and the peace that God gives you until you get away from some of them religious people. And I'm not talking about not living right. Listen, hey, listen, we got standards. We got convictions. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You better have some. But there's going to be some people that you'll just never please. They got a list. They're going to walk around. And if you got one little hair that touches the top of your ear, well, you ain't right with God. They'll walk in church with a ruler. Let me see. Is your skirt? It's a centimeter above the bottom of your kneecap. Come on, give me a break. Are you really looking that close? What are you here for?
Yeah. There you go.
Now listen, should a woman dress modest? Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah.
Should a man have a nice haircut? Absolutely. But is it my job and is it my focus to go around and be the inspector? Come on, church. You'll never have no joy. Listen, if you worry about what everybody else is doing, you'll never have any joy in your life. You never. And if you hang around that crowd, you're going to be just like, hey, I'm speaking from experience. Been there, done that, got the shirt. Number four, or whatever. What I don't know what number I'm on. Lastly, again. Listen, you may have to say goodbye and cut off some remiss peers. Say, what is remiss? The word remiss has the idea that they're lazy. They're procrastinators. Here they are. They are apathetic. Listen to me. Don't close up on me right yet. Listen to me. Let me get this last point. You need to hear this. If you hang around people who just don't care, you ain't gonna care.
You're right, brother.
What is apathy? Here's a definition of apathy. I don't know and I don't care. That's apathy. You know what? We got too many people in the church that have apathy.
Amen.
When we go on visitation, preacher, I don't know. I don't care. Hey, when we got sowing, I don't know. I don't care. What time's revival start? I don't know. I don't care. Anybody got saved this year? I don't know. I don't care. Are you listening?
Lord help me.
I'm not trying to be funny. I try to get you to see the stark reality.
Right.
We got a lot of people that are sitting in pews that could be serving. That could get up. There's plenty of opportunities. There's things we could do. But if you hang around the lazy crowd, you're going to be lazy. If you hang around that crowd, it's going to rub off on you. Mom, you say it like this. This ain't in the Bible. This ain't in the Bible, so don't go tell nobody this is in the Bible. But it's pretty good country talk. If you lay down with the dogs, you're going to wake up with the fleas.
Right.
There's some people in your life that you're going to have to cut out. You say, preacher, they're family. You're describing my family. They family, love them, let them come to your house. But you better watch how much time you spend around them, and you better be careful not to let them influence you.
You're right.
You said, but preacher, they're my best friends from childhood. Can I help y'all out? My best friends when I was a kid hardly ever talked to me anymore. And it's not just a distance thing. It's when I got saved, I started living for God. Most of them walked away from me before I had to walk away from them. Just be honest. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. When you become a new creature, you start walking different, talking different, acting different, listening different, looking different.
Amen.
Most of the time that crowd you was running with before and they didn't get saved, most of the time they don't want nothing much to do with you anyway. And I'll be honest with you, if that crowd still wanted to hang around me all the time, I'd really wonder if I was being very salty.
You're right.
Miss Haley, you start playing. Where you at? Where you at this year? There's going to be opportunities. Opportunities are going to bang. There's going to be options. There's going to be opportunities to worship, to work, to serve. Opportunities to be a witness. Opportunities to live for God, but there will be obstacles. Are you going to let the opportunities in your life be a motivating factor for you to live for God? And for you to take advantage of those opportunities? Or are you going to let the obstacles that come around keep you from achieving those opportunities? May God help us to look past the obstacles in our life and to take full advantage of the opportunities that God affords us. The days, the weeks, the months, the years that lie ahead of us. There's opportunities. There's opportunity. There's opportunity this morning. If you're not saved, come to this old-fashioned altar and give your heart to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's a lot of obstacles if you want to find them. If you'll let the devil hinder you, he will. There's a lot of opportunities for people that's Christians to come down here at the altar and say, God, hey, starting this year, I want to take full advantage. I want to go through that door, that great door, that effectual. God, I want to take advantage of the opportunities you give me. I don't want those obstacles to hold me up. There'll be plenty of obstacles keeping you. Where are you going to do this year? You're going to going to take advantage of the opportunities? Or are you going to keep your eyes on the obstacles? Opportunities and obstacles. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you take the message. I pray you'd use it for your glory. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts and lives. Do for us what only you can do. Save souls that need to be saved. Encourage. Motivate Christians that need it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium.